All right, last day, SEC Media Days, Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio. What's up, brother?
You know, I appreciate you guys just saving the best for last. Like, you just got to come in. You've had all this nonsense. I'm the cleanup crew. Just going to come clean it all up. So I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah.
Well, I like having you on. It's more laid back. You know, a lot of these guys I've never met, you know, and they come over and the walls are up and they're afraid to open up. They think we're going to get them on something, and that's not what we're here for, man. We're a motivated podcast here, just trying to do right by Kentucky.
You know, radio roll this, radio that. The shit's not hard. Everybody's just trying to have a good time, and that's where we're at right now.
I love, though, Nick, I know we were just bashing him. First question, how motivated are you? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, he grabbed the mic, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Everybody buckle in. And we got a unique answer. It wasn't the answer necessarily I thought we were going to get, but yeah.
If he had truth serum, what would he have said? If
it piss was off, Nick Rouse. <Yeah. probably. laughs>
I could see Stoop searching for the right response there. So no, that was good. And you know, I feel bad because you guys were close. You know, even with Coach Stoops here, and I like the fact that he's kind of going back to that blue-collared attitude that got him there to begin with. But give me something positive to talk about Kentucky here. What are some positive things you're seeing behind those closed doors that maybe other SEC fans aren't aware of?
Yeah, I think the big bet they made is kind of betting on what they know. They're doubling down on what they've done before, which is kind of the blue-collar, the rock 'em, sock 'em robot, ball control. That's what they're betting on. Now, do they have the O-line to do that? That's what they spent a lot of money on to fix. Now, they're saying positive things, but they got to go out and play, and we'll see what it looks like. But that is to me, that is the big bet he has made this season. They pretty much admitted they had kind of a personnel problem, and so they flipped the roster. You know, you've got 25, 26 transfers. You signed a full high school class. You got 50 new players just right there. And so they're making a bet here on that the coaching staff, it was just a bad year, that they can flip it. They didn't make any really coaching staff changes. Like, Stoops didn't make one change. The guys that left for other job opportunities. So that's the big bet. Now, will it work or not? We'll see. His best years have kind of come when the expectations were low. So if you were kind of going to be like, all right, well, tell me how it happens. They would get back to playing this ball control offense. They would win a lot of their close games, and they could sneak up on people. And that's really when they've kind of been at their best, and I think that's what they're kind of going for here. And that's why I think you've kind of seen them be really quiet, I think, this offseason. It's because they're trying to just get back to where they can sneak up on some people, get some upsets, and then go to a bowl game.
Any chance when Vince Morrow left, I mean, that was big news. It obviously was a slow time SEC-wise, but obviously it was going to be big news in Kentucky. Any chance that while Tennessee and others may have been laughing at Kentucky, could that fuel Kentucky to do even better this year, you think?
Yeah, it's interesting because Vince probably doesn't – he was very valuable, I think, pre-NIL. I think you could – there's – how valuable is he when everything's on the table and you're paying players and all of that? I think Dale, definitely, I think that probably added some fuel to Mark Stoops' fire for this season to kind of prove the doubters wrong. I definitely think maybe short term it can help. I think, you know, not to use the word, but I think they're highly motivated to kind of prove that they still know what they're doing, that they're a good coaching staff and all of that, and they can still win games. They know what it takes to win games in this league, and I think they believe they have the pieces, because when you look at their portal class, it wasn't sexy, but if we had a pie chart in the positions that spent the most money, it would be offensive line and defensive line. That's where they kind of really invested their resources, is fixing the trenches. And they believe if they get that fixed, that they'll be able to win some games. And so they didn't go out and spend on the big quarterback like they have in the past, go spend a lot of money at receiver. They spent on the meat and potatoes. And so we'll see if that pays off. But, yeah, I definitely think that was just another, I think, kind of layer of – it was an offseason where they took a lot of hits. They really didn't say anything. They just kind of kept to themselves. And so have they been consuming all these hits and using those as kind of motivation? And we'll see if it plays out. I think it's really important for them, Like, they got to start fast. If they don't start fast, I think the noise is going to get really loud.
Please don't reference meat and potatoes so close to dinner.
Brother, I'll go right now. We'll close this thing down and get out of here. Yeah, I don't know when folks are going to listen to this, but when they do, they need to know it's day four. We're at the end, and they've already pulled all the concessions. So, yeah, I'm a little blood sugar's dropping, as they say. But, hey, I'm curious. I'm just – because it's come up a few times, and I'm maybe I don't pay attention. But did Kentucky hire a GM, or were they in the process of it? I can't remember there. And how important does that role? Because that's, I hear Sam talking about a breath of fresh air. I can just focus on football. You see it with Brent did the same thing. You know, I feel like that could be very valuable for Coach Stoops if he's not worried about that and going back to what he is good at.
Yeah, again, Eddie Grand, they kind of reintroduced him, brought him back on staff, and kind of his title was assistant to the head coach. And then he kind of became like the co-fundraiser with Stoops when that became a thing. And sometime in there, he became the general manager, what people would consider the general manager. It took Stoops – that was all speculation, and that was a thing like you would hear talked about, that he was that, but not in title. Stoops didn't – confirmed that until like 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, when he went on with Matt Jones. So Eddie Grant is the general manager, but I don't think it's like a general manager like Jim Nagy at Oklahoma or what Brian Kelly has at LSU or what Ole Miss has. I think Ole Miss has. He's a part of the process, but this is still very, I think, when it comes to personnel decisions, the coaches are very involved. And there's not, you know, they have a scouting arm, but it's not – like, these are the guys we're taking. It's more so these are the guys we can kind of get, and then the coaches kind of decide, and they're very involved in that process. And that was the thing with the Vince thing, I think. The coordinators got really more involved, like are very heavily driven in kind of these personnel decisions. And so Mark Stoops, he listens to a lot of different voices. That Grant has a voice at the table, but so do the coordinators and so do the other coaches. So it's kind of – it's not – they don't have – the kind of structure that you're seeing a lot of these other schools talk about. And like you mentioned, all these coaches get up and talk about their GM.
That's
like,
just sport oriented, you know, it's not total. So I'm just, I just wonder if that's the next chapter. This is kind of a sidetrack, but ever since you mentioned meat and potatoes, did you have trouble eating a dozen donuts? Is that what that was? Or
that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if
that was Ryan.
I knew it was one of them KSR boys.
Yeah. We need to do it next year. We're going to do the SEC Media Days. We'll do the donut challenge.
What is the donut challenge?
It was 12 donuts, I believe, in 15 minutes. He had to get them down. But they weren't like Krispy Kreme size. Yeah. They were big, giant glazed donuts. And so he like rolled them up.
Yeah, I saw that. Not
it was supposed to be strategy. I don't think it worked out too well for him. We made a, you know, he gave it the good college try, I guess, but just didn't make it work.
Well, if you need another challenger, you know where he's at. He's just south of you.
There you go. Next time we'll bring, we won't do the bourbon bet. We'll do the dozen donut bet.
The bourbon bet's off, man.
Why is Stoops so loyal to Eddie Grant? Is it just going back to who you know?
Yeah, I think there's a long relationship there. I think they're pretty close. And Grant coming in kind of saved Stoops' job when he first came in 2016. And so I think he's just a confidant. He's just a guy he really trusts and likes having around.
What about Zach Calzada? Any buzz there that he could be better than most? I mean, we've seen him at A&M. I thought at Auburn he was going to do some stuff. If memory serves, he got injured before he could ever.
Spring camp, yeah.
But at A&M, I thought he showed promise. And hell, he looked like one tough son of a gun beating Alabama. I didn't think he'd still be on the field. He beat Bama. So, I mean, he's got talent. What are you hearing?
Yeah, again, I think with everything in this program, they're just keeping it really hush-hush. They're not really hyping him up at all. To me, the plan was kind of like we can't have what happened last year. We got to have a high floor. You know, we got to know at least what we're going to get. And so whenever Calzada is brought up, the experience, games he's played, we know what we're getting in him. And I think for him, it's the accuracy is a big thing. He can throw the ball through a brick wall, but can he put touch and can he layer passes and all of that, but I think they do like his intangibles, his toughness, and just his overall experience. And I think they believe he's going to be a good quarterback to kind of be around Cutter Bowley, a young guy who they still have a lot of confidence in, but don't believe he's ready quite right now. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if the season get sideways, I wouldn't be surprised if Boley ends up finding his way in the lineup. But for right now, they're betting on really Calzada's, I would say, experience and just what he can bring, I think, from a leadership standpoint to the team.
How important is it for Kentucky just to hit the ground?
I think it's everything. I don't think, like, you don't have to go 4-0. Like, to me, it's just, like, that Toledo game is kind of tricky because you don't, like, we don't know what Kentucky's going to look like in a lot of ways. And so you can't mess around that week one. You got to find a way to win that game. And then, like, one of those, that Ole Miss and South Carolina, like, you have to get one of them. If you don't, it's hard to see the season going well. And, again, I think the noise could get really loud if you don't win one of those games. There's got this long home losing streak on the line, too. And look at the home schedule. Like, if you don't get the Ole Miss one, which one are you getting?
Because I got October here, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn. Now, it does – one thing I do like about maybe that strong start, if you will, we don't know what Florida will be November 8th, you know, because they're going through a gauntlet themselves.
He's convinced Florida sucks.
Yeah, I am. I'm right there. And Vanderbilt, fun story.
Is that like a Tennessee thing y'all just say to like, I don't want to like, because if I think they're good, I'm going to get nervous for the game. So I just want to downplay them.
I don't think they're going to make the playoff, but I think they're going to contend all year.
Yeah, the schedule's a brute.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. But yeah. As long as Lagway's healthy, they can play with anyone.
And that's the ultimate asterisk there. And if DJ's not in there, I'm out.
He does it for every team. Tennessee at the Swamp won't be challenging by late November. Every team, it's Florida's not going to be a challenge.
Yeah, they'll be clocked out by then.
Hey, so the over-under, 4.5 for Kentucky. Is that fair or is that disrespectful?
I think that's really fair. I think when you go through it, I think 4-8, 5-7, to me, stand out as the most likely records. The schedule is a brute, right? Texas and Georgia, I think they'll be 1-2 when the order of finish comes out tomorrow. So you play both of them. Tennessee has their number. We all know that. You know, South Carolina, do they have their number now? It kind of feels like it, like it's trending that way. The Ole Miss game is really important because all those games have come down to the wire. They seem weirdly, they're able to match up with Ole Miss well, which is kind of odd. Defensively, the last two times they played them, they've really give Ole Miss a lot of trouble. And then it's Austin Simmons' first road start. So there's some things aligning, and Kentucky has this brand-new team that – Ole Miss probably won't know a lot about going in that game. That feels like a monumental game, I think, for them. Because you can win that one, I think you could see the path to getting back to a bowl game. And I think if Stoops got to 6-6, 7-5 with this team against that schedule, I think it would calm down a lot of the noise. But the only way to do that to me is you got to win that Ole Miss game. If you don't, you're getting in November and you're going to have to win some tough games. And really, the schedule is kind of tricky because the most winnable games are in November. So what you want to do is you want to get to that point with a chance to get to that seven win mark with those games, but you've got to win some first to get to that point. And so it's huge. I think that Ole Miss, South Carolina kind of stretch because they get a break before that, I think a bye week before that. They really got to win one of those to make this season – for this season to be a success.
And on that note, I feel like to have success, we've got to have some guys step up. Is there – Kentucky's always had one or two guys. I mean, hell, ever since Will Levis, it seems like you've got two or three guys you just know are going to be playing at that next level. Is there two or three guys that maybe you got in the back of your mind now, you're saying, hey, if all goes well, these are guys people are going to be talking about at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's going to be transfer-driven, I think, offensively. To me, Seth McGowan, who played at Oklahoma, got in some trouble, was at New Mexico State last year, played through an injury, still almost ran for 1,000 yards on a bad offense. He's a guy I think is probably going to be their starting running back and a guy that you talk to guys here today, they're really excited about. And then Kendrick Law, who they got from Alabama, I think he's going to be their number one target. He's going to be the guy they're going to look to get the football, created touches, screens, all of that. And he's got some speed, I think, to maybe take the top off. Route running was a big question mark for him coming to Kentucky. But you look at the receiver room, I think that he's probably – those are going to be their two – to me, their big guns entering the year.
Where's Kentucky at, specifically the football program with NIL, with the revenue share? Because I have heard it speculated that Kentucky will allocate more to basketball, but I've not heard that from
– Mitch Barnhart won't say. He will not go on record about how they're going to handle that.
Okay, so you guys don't have any – because I figured you guys would be the only ones that really know, but any sense that football's not getting what the rest of the SEC schools are going to allocate to just, and I'm strictly talking revenue share, because I would think Kentucky is in a unique position where they can do all the, there's all kinds of opportunities for legal NIL with the basketball team that is all legitimate.
Now, they did start that LLC, the athletic department, which kind of separated it from the school, and it's supposed to help them in fundraising. So I believe that that's going to be a big part of the plan, is trying to fundraise for this outside of that. But the basketball is going to get, you know, they're going to, not going to be not first in the conference in basketball when it comes to NIL. Now, what does that mean for football? We'll have to see. But, yeah, there's definitely, I think, a scenario at play where they're at the bottom of the league when it comes to that. And now, can you make up for it in other ways? How do you make up for that in the margins, I think, is something they're going to have to kind of figure out. But as of right now, he will not say. He's been asked about it a couple times, and he will not go on record.
Are fans all right with that? I mean, I mean nobody's okay with being the bottom of anything, but I'm just saying if – I mean –
I think that kind of gives you your answer without giving you an answer. Because you just don't want that out there. We're last in football. And I have no clue, but that's why I was asking.
Yeah, I think there's one in the fan base, there's some Stoops fatigue right now. And Pope's new. And Pope's got like 100% approval rating, so people don't care. Now, there's factions of the basketball that there's some basketball people that think Kentucky shouldn't play football. And then there's some, now you're talking about like on these extremes. And there's some, but there'll be a lot of football people that'll kind of stand up and be like, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to commit. You can't just like, can't do half and half. You know, what is having $1 million more in the basketball thing? How much is that really going to impact you year over year when it's still Kentucky and you're still going to have the money outside of that? Like, it's going to be easier to get big business involved to have the real NIL. Now, it's just saying this is even going to be a thing, you know, a year from now. We'll see how this plays out. So that's going to be something interesting, and I think there's going to be some push and shove with that. And then, you know, whenever – eventually Kentucky's going to have to hire a new football coach, and that thing's going to be established. That's going to be something that would hurt them, I think, in a coaching search. So would that change down the road? Would they – all right, we did basketball for a little bit. We let y'all get ahead. We're going to take a little bit away, and we're going to give it to the football team now. You know, I think there's – because it's not something you have to lock in every year. You can change
it. That's exactly what I was – not just even Kentucky, but all the SEC. Yeah. It's a moving target year to year.
Right. And so how do you allocate those funds, I think, year over year is going to be really important. And for Kentucky, they're going to have to find the right balance with that.
And that's kind of what we've been hearing. It's like, it's not that we can't fire him. It's that we don't want to. We'd rather take that money and buy a plate, you know, a roster, if you will. So, yeah, it's a weird – I mean, it's a weird time for all sports, but mainly football teams that are just looking to get back to that next level. It's like you have to put some money into it. You have to put all the chips in. And I'm not saying I don't see the commitment, because there's some diehard fans up there, but it's going to take a special season or two to get, I feel like, people back on that Stoops bandwagon.
Yeah, and if Kentucky's ever operating right, it's never going to be a thing, Will. They're just spending more money. Like, they're always a program that's going to have to win in the margins. They're going to have to be better at evaluation, implementation, finding diamonds in the rough, lack of a better phrase. Like, that's really how they're going to make it an impact. Where you want it to be like is if you get a situation like Ole Miss had, where you can be in position to push your chips in, right? Like, but for Kentucky year over year, that's not, you know, them just going – and having a bunch of cash is not going to be something they're ever going to have compared to their peers in this conference.
All right, Adam, last thing I got for you. Really appreciate your time. All week, all our content is sponsored by MyBookie. So I'm asking everybody that sits down, their MyBookie bold take for the upcoming season. Could be Kentucky-related, could be anything SEC-related. You have a bold take for us?
Oklahoma misses a bowl game.
Misses a bowl game?
Mm-hmm. Losing record. Or Brent Venables.
Would it stun? Well, I guess it would stun you. Again, that's a bold take, not a guarantee or anything. But we've had one person come over here, Matt Hayes. Shout out, Matt Hayes. He says Oklahoma's winning the league.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, they're kind of in the Florida conversation. Like, the schedule
is
just.
Those two, I think, are identical.
The schedule is just a brute. They have so many, like, moving pieces in. Like, what makes us think that the offensive line is just magically fixed? I know they had 1,000 injuries, but what makes us think the offensive line is magically fixed? And they lost some real star power on defense.
Last thing I got for you is...
And I never love when the head coach is like, I'll just take over the defense. It worked for Clark Lee last year, but I'm going to fade that. So I would say that would be my bold take.
My last question is, if you bump into Vince there at the Kroger grocery store, what's the first thing you're going to tell him?
That's a good question. I don't know. Hey, big dog. So what's it feel like to be little brother, maybe? Maybe a little brother did. You're like little big dog now. Little big brother dog.
All right, Adam, thank you so much. Before you go, tell our audience how to follow you and how to find all your work.
Yeah, Adam Luckett, KSR. Adam Luckett, KSR on Twitter. KSR Plus, check us out. We're over there. KSR has a message board now. We've had it for a couple years. It gets pretty crazy over there, so come check us out in the On3 Network. They're building a big thing over there, and we're having a good time.
Rumor is Cousin Shane's been in the mentions after...
You two show up on the message board, whether you know it or not. You're on there.
Yeah.
You know, you all have a KSR Plus presence, even though it's maybe not, you don't know what's going on, but you...
Is it positive?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
You know, not everyone
I'm always rooting for underdogs.
Even I, who work on the message, I don't have 100% approval rating, so, you know, there's nothing. No one's perfect. No one's Teflon over there.
That was a nice way of saying no.
No.